This morning I'm going to speak about waiting and waiting well, not wishing well, as my husband said. Who can speak about wishing wells? But waiting well and why that's important, a bit about my journey in all of that, and some of it is also about Taylor's journey. But just to be clear, at some point in the future, Taylor can, or if he chooses not to, can tell his own story about his own journey on this. So what I'm going to say is from my perspective, okay? And Taylor does know I'm going to say this, and I did a similar thing in Maidenhead last year, and the amount of people that said to me, he was in the room when you talked about it. Yes, and we lived together. So I wasn't quite sure how that was, you know, made any difference, what we talked about at home to what I would talk about on a Sunday morning, that would be inappropriate, that Taylor wouldn't know what I would say. But anyway, waiting. Pete used this verse last week in his talk on hope, the Isaiah 40 verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And I particularly want to concentrate on the waiting bit of that. And the kind of waiting that I'm talking about is not kind of, you know, I can't wait for my holiday in, you know, July. It's not that kind of waiting, or I can't wait for my birthday, or I can't wait for Christmas, or whatever. It's the waiting that you have to do because you don't know what else to do. Because circumstances are such that it kind of causes you to have to wait. And what you need for that sort of waiting is some endurance. And you need some patience. And you need some strength. And the good thing about the endurance and the patience and the strength is that those things come from the Lord. So my talk this morning is not about pull yourself up from your bootstraps, get on with it, gird yourselves up and, you know, plow on, you know, head down. This is about receiving something from the Lord that you're in need of, because he has lots of it to give you. So if you need some endurance, he can give you endurance. If you need some patience, well, that's a fruit of the Spirit, so you might need some more of the Spirit if you need patience. Because you of yourself can't produce, you know, all that you might try, patience. Strength to wait. So part of my question this morning to you is, what are you waiting for? I don't know your circumstance. But the thing that I want to talk about the waiting that we've had in our family, because for those of you who don't know, Taylor has been diagnosed with ulcerative colitis since about 12. He had all the symptoms way before then, and it's particularly difficult to diagnose, and we all live with it. Taylor has the symptoms, but we all live with it because it's in our family. And we wait. It's incurable. And you can live without medication sometimes, and you can live quite well, actually, without it, with it not even being medicated, but you kind of managing to control it. That's a nice idea. It's not our experience. Our experience is that Taylor is constantly on medication. He's on 13 pieces of medication a day. That's relatively low for him, actually, so this is quite a good period of time for him. There are obviously all of the blood tests, and, you know, having to have regular blood tests is part of our life. It's part of our family. It's part of our journey. And in the middle of all of that, we of course pray. We of course ask God to heal. We of course cry out to him in those times of desperation. But we wait. Why do we wait? Because the healing hasn't come yet. It's not there. And my talk isn't necessarily about, well, you know, why do, you know, bad things happen to good people, and, you know, why doesn't God answer, and all those sorts of things. If you're interested and you want to talk to me about it, then I can tell you how I feel about some of those things, and what I feel that God has said to us and to me and to Taylor about some of those things. But we wait. We wait, and there are circumstances, and maybe you don't personally have a circumstance in your life at this moment in time where you're waiting, but you might know of other people. You might know of other people who are waiting. Unsaved partners, children that have maybe gone and lived a different life to the one that you'd hoped they would. Financial situation, the job that just doesn't come round, or the promotion that just doesn't happen. A lot of these things are about situations that are outside of our control. And that's the bit that, you know, if we could, you know, do something to make Taylor better, we obviously would. But the waiting is the thing that we have to do because of the circumstance we're in. Those of you might know some of the situation that Keith and Kaz are facing at the moment. They do know I'm talking about this, by the way. As a friend of theirs, I wait with them. It's out of our control. And that you know, brings up a lot of stuff in us, doesn't it? If you can't make it happen, where are you going to go and what are you going to do? And the thing that I really want to emphasize this morning is that God is involved in the waiting with us. He is totally involved in the waiting with us. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to hopefully illustrate this with a story from Scripture. I'm not going to read the whole story because it's quite lengthy, and it's also one that is likely to be quite familiar to you. But in your situation at this moment in time, if you feel that you are waiting, can I tell you some things? That God's silence doesn't mean he's absent. I don't know if you're saying things, but there have been whole periods of time in our waiting where you just wait. You just wait. You know, there aren't bolts of, you know, lightning from heaven. There are the times where prophetic people come along and say, that young man over there, and you know, say amazing things. But sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it doesn't, and, you know, John Paul, Jim, I keep calling him John Paul, it's the Pope, isn't it? Taylor did get a prophetic word from Jim Paul when he came a couple of weekends ago. It wasn't about ulcerative colitis at all. But hey, I tell you, we'll take the good stuff because it's good for us, it's good for him, it's good for our family. It's good that God is speaking into that. So God's silence is not equal to his absence. In your situation, I think waiting, I just think it's really interesting what happens when you wait, because something about your view of God will emerge, and it might be surprising for you, but it will emerge, because we're only as healthy as our picture of God is accurate. Let me say that again. We're only as healthy as our picture of God is accurate. If you think God is absent, your picture of God is not going to be one that he's loving. Those two things can't sit in the same place. If your picture of God is one that he's loving, you will absorb that. It will challenge, the waiting will challenge what you really think of God as a father. And you have to find a way of realizing that perhaps your picture is not accurate, and then you might have to change what your picture looks like. And you change it not because you have to will it out of yourself or because you douse yourself in Scripture every day, but because you allow something of God to love you and to change that image of who God is on the inside. We sing a song quite regularly. There's a line in it that affliction's eclipsed by glory. It's a fantastic line, isn't it? Affliction's eclipsed by glory. His presence is bigger and overshadows my situation. His presence overshadows my waiting. If it's the other way round, I'd like to suggest your picture of God is inaccurate. And you have to have his presence with you to wait. Because otherwise it's an endurance test. You just wait and you wait and you wait. And you miss out. You miss out on the joy. You miss out on the beauty. Please don't feel that I've got this sussed. I am not standing here as an expert. I'm not standing here as someone who can, you know, kind of give you all of my success stories. I'm telling you about my failures. I'm telling you about the bit of the journey so far, if you like. And there have been times where it has been pants. Really, seriously, pants. And for me, the bottom line is, particularly with Taylor, is as a mum, I can't make him better. It's not in my control. I can't. So I wait. I wait. I wait for God. I really don't want this to be a very depressing speech today, but you know, there is hope. That's the point. That's the point. In the stuff you can't control, there is things that you can do, and that's what where God comes in. I think there are two types of waiting, and I'm hopefully going to illustrate this. Luke 1. I am going to give you the headlines in a kind of whistle stop tour of that first chapter of Luke 1. Okay, you will remember this well, and you can obviously look it up at home or whatever. Zacharias and Elizabeth are childless. Usually, somebody who is childless, barren, in those days, it would be assumed that it was God's displeasure, and there would be sin in the wife's life, which is why the child has been withheld from the wife. But in this particular case, that's not what the Bible says, because in verse 6 it says, they were righteous and blameless before God. Yeah. They were advanced in years. They had waited a long time. Now, I reckon that if in culturally you probably got married, a woman, or girl rather, probably got married around... maybe 14 in that sort of, you know. So who's 14 in River here? It's Jasmine. How old is Jasmine? Alice. Okay. So it would be like Alice getting married, okay, and the expectation would probably be that she would have a baby very, very shortly. So the fact that they were advanced in years would mean they had waited decades. Yeah? All through their 20s, all through their 30s. I don't know what life expectancy would have been. 40 plus, 50, I don't know. Decades they waited for the child that didn't come. Zacharias was a priest, and he had a once-in-a-lifetime duty to go into the temple and perform his priestly duties for that time. And on that occasion, they would put their names into a lot, and it would be fairly random that your name would be called out. And this particular duty you would only do once ever in your lifetime. So this was an incredible honour for somebody to go, oh yes, on such and such a day, it's Zacharias that's going to kind of do this particular thing. Okay. And I think all along, We have this saying when we do sozos that there's a new name of God, and it's a Jehovah Sneaky. Because there are so many times that there is a complete setup that you do. So you think you're just doing a priestly duty, and all of a sudden, this whole other situation that God has completely orchestrated blasts into what you think was going to be a normal day at the office. And it's not completely. So Zacharias is doing it. You know, what he's doing, it's this once in a lifetime. Your name may not ever be called out of the hat. So it's an incredible honour for him. So, and the angel speaks to him, and he promises him, and he says, your prayer is heard. Fantastic. The angel prophesies, they will have a son, and Zacharias gives a reply, and the reply, it means that he's mute until the baby is born. It says in some of the translations, deaf, but it actually means mute. It's deaf and dumb. That's pretty serious. Within a short period of time, Elizabeth does fall pregnant. The child is filled with the Holy Spirit prenatally. That's unprecedented up to that point, that a child in the womb would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's fantastic, actually, because I pray for all the babies to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and I hadn't particularly realised that John was the first one. And then she gets a visit from Mary, and Mary is now pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth has a boy. And rather than calling him Zacharias, which would have been the tradition, they say his name is John. And John means God is gracious. Immediately, Zacharias can speak once the child is born, and he obviously begins praising God. Zacharias is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to prophesy. That's the kind of headlines of that verse. Okay, what do I mean by two types of waiting? I want to split out her response and his response. This is not a sexist comment. Tempted though I am not making a sexist comment. So let's go through his response. Zacharias was doing all the right things. He was described as righteous. So this wasn't somebody who was nominally Jewish. This was somebody who was quite devout about what they were doing. He was a priest. I mean, this was serious for him. And he obviously did it well. His heart was obviously to serve God. But his reply that he gives the angel Gabriel belies something. So the angel says, you're going to have a baby. And in the Message translation, he answers, do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. You know? Do you not see? I've got grey hair, she's got wrinkles, and you're talking about a baby. You know? And the power of unbelief, or maybe disbelief, I think is evident in his response. As a result, he becomes mute. He becomes deaf and dumb. But the unbelief wasn't necessarily only what came out of his mouth. I think it was a heart condition. I think it was, I'd like to propose, that it was a physical manifestation of a spiritual condition. We don't know what had happened to Zacharias over the years that he had waited. Had his heart become hardened in some way? Had his heart become deaf to the word of God? I don't know. And in this particular example, Zacharias had had something taken from him. He'd had his ability to speak and hear, albeit temporarily. And I think that going back to what I started in the beginning, that the waiting, when you need endurance and patience and strength, is something that you need added to you, not being taken from you. The waiting itself can feel as though you give out into that process so much. And God is here and he wants to give it to you. But in this particular situation, I think Zachariah ended up having something taken from him. Waiting can lead you into a place of disbelief. or unbelief. Let's look at her response. I do love this. He has to go home. He can't speak. And he's deaf. And he's got to say to her, I was doing my priestly duties. Angel appears, starts to speak, prophesies. Baby, you, me, let's do it. How are you going to do that with charades? I mean, I want to be the fly on the wall, you know, three syllables, you know. I don't know. I mean, how do you do that? But somehow they did. And, I mean, it does actually say in Scripture that Zechariah could write. You know, he was literate. I'm not sure that she would have been. I don't think they would have educated women, do you think, perhaps in those times. So it wasn't like he's written this really long letter. You know, dear Lizzie, you know, just thought I'd tell you what happened in the temple today. I just don't believe it. I just think that it's, you know, so I would love to know what happened there. But anyway, it says shortly afterwards, she was pregnant. Her response in verse 25 is this. This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. That is such a different response to Zechariah, who said, I'm old, you know, she's wrinkly, I'm grey. Duh. She says, the Lord has looked upon me with favour after all those years. Her heart was very different. The years had not hardened it. It remained soft. She kept hearing the Lord's voice. This was the answer to all the prayers. And she recognised it for what it was. She recognised that this was the end. This heralded the end of waiting. I'd like to think that Elizabeth grabbed it with both hands. Grabbed it. She didn't hold on to unbelief, but she trusted the Lord in the waiting. This is my killer verse. Verse 37. The angel said, For with God, nothing will be impossible. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning. In your waiting, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I looked up nothing, and I looked up impossible. Steady yourselves. Nothing means nothing. Impossible means impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. She was added to in her waiting. Zechariah, something got taken from him. She was filled with a baby. Her baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. She is then filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies over Mary in verse 42 in a loud voice. I get the sense that she probably wasn't prone to prophesying, you know, at that point where she was filled with the Holy Spirit, I think something welled up within her and she could not contain this spirit that was inside her and she had to prophesy out. She had to just tell people what was going on. She had to, you know, find that place. Or it kind of just was in her to come out what she had received from God and what she saw it happening in Elizabeth and in Mary, sorry, as well. So despite her being in her advanced years, I think Elizabeth was still open to the Lord doing a new thing with her. That the waiting hadn't kind of closed her down and closed her down and closed her down and just thought, I'll just last my days. but she was open to the Lord doing a new thing. She has the child. It is a boy. They do call the child John and not Zachariah. And immediately he can speak. The father, Zachariah, can speak. He is filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesies. He prophesies about his son. He prophesies about Jesus. I'd like to suggest to you that in the at least 9 months between the time that he was made mute and the baby being born, that some heart surgery went on in Zachariah's life. Don't know how that happened. Don't know. But I think he was in a place where he allowed something to change on the inside of him that was in his heart during that pregnancy. Thing is, that those two types of waiting, his and hers, it was the same circumstance. It was the same waiting, the same enduring. They actually got the same message. Your prayer is heard. They actually heard the same answer to that. For with God, nothing is impossible. But they waited very differently. So either with a sense of that disbelief or that sense of trust. I just want to hop back to the Isaiah verse I read at the beginning. This is from the Street Bible. He lets the weary ones plug into his strength reserves. He recharges the weak with his power. Even teenagers need him to fill their energy tanks. Even they trip up. Even they land flat on their faces. But those whose prospects are tied up with God will get a second wind, a third wind, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. They'll fly magnificent like eagles. Can we say red kites, actually, because that's kind of a bit more applicable to us, isn't it? They'll fly magnificent like red kites over the Chiltern Hills. They'll run marathons back to back. They'll walk mountains in the midday, midsummer, and not break a sweat. You want some of that. Let's be brave, shall we? Do you want to be brave today? If you're waiting, and you need something to endure the waiting, do you just want to stand? I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to think of Jesus. I want you to put your mind's eye on Jesus. I want you to kind of tune into whether Jesus is near you. He might be inside you, around you. I want you to connect to where Jesus is. And just in your mind's eye, I want you to begin to write on a piece of paper everything you feel about waiting. You might feel weary, angry. You might want to write something like, I didn't sign up for this. Whatever words best describe your waiting, just write it on that piece of paper in your mind's eye. I want you to hand it over to Jesus and just watch what he does with it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, so if you could pray this after me. Jesus, what will you give me in exchange you just tune in to what Jesus hands you back. He might say something. He might give you a tool. Again, if you can pray this after me. Jesus, what lie am I believing in this period of waiting about you? Just in your own way, hand over that lie back to Jesus and ask him to exchange it for you. What will Jesus give you in exchange to that lie? I'd like to just pray over you, if that's okay, and then I think God will sing a song. Father, I want to pray for these people who stand waiting. They're in the journey of waiting. Father, I pray that they will hear your voice say, your prayer is heard. I pray for an impartation of hope and faith for them to know that with you, nothing is impossible. I pray for courage. I pray for endurance for them. That they will endure this, not out of their own strength, but because they rely on you. I pray for strength that is your strength in them. I pray for that joy to be returned to them. In your name, Jesus.